How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
This episode of Optimize We is brought to you by C60 Power. Visit shopc60.com and use code WESHOW15 for 15% off your purchase.
Thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. If you haven't done so, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so. Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and please rate and review the show. And of course, you can find all of our programming, CannabisRadio.com. And today on the program, we're going to go into various areas of what is the ongoing issues we're looking into 2026, the major cannabis headlines, and getting the legal perspective on it when it comes to 280E. When it comes to the intoxicating hemp civil war, Schedule 3, compliance versus subjective enforcement, and other areas, we're going to get to that right now with my guest. He is the proclaimed father of cannabis law in Arizona, former general counsel for Copper State Farms, and the founder of Litix Legal. You can find the website, LITIXlegal.com. I'm here with Ryan Hurley. Ryan, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Now, let's get into Litix Legal first, and the promise of killing the billable hour, which what you're talking about is really to create the idea that Section 280E effectively taxes companies at 70% and or over 70%, and cash flow is non-existent. And legal efficiency isn't just a luxury, it's a survival metric. And I say that any cannabis business has to have legal counsel, and honestly, abide and adhere to what legal counsel is telling you. So we know that MSOs right now, they're cash strapped. They're not looking to go and invest too much these days. They're very hesitant because they don't see where business is going. Also for hemp businesses, hemp derived businesses, they don't know if they're going to have to go and figure out what to do and make their hemp set for industrial and not for cannabis anymore, because every state feels like, or on a national level, might be changing. So tell me about the importance of legal spending right now. If you are not contractually guaranteeing your flat fee model will cost less than the tax deductions that they're legally barred from taking.
Yeah, so it is. You hit the nail on the head. The cannabis industry in particular is, absolutely needs good legal counsel and frankly, generally needs more legal counsel than most businesses of equivalent size, right? And you need
that's on the priority only next to insurance, I would say, would be the other most important factor.
Yeah, probably. And your license, your ability to grow and sell. But you need attorneys with different skill sets, right? I mean, you've got everything in traditional business needs, but then you also need somebody who understands the cannabis regulations and the federal illegality and how to navigate that and where it's going and the. If you're lucky, somebody that understands the plant as well, understands its benefits. I mean, a little bit about it. So, it's legal spend has been disproportionately high for the cannabis industry for sure. And right now, as you note, a lot of the businesses in the industry are strapped for cash and are having a hard time. So, our business model is a little different. We are trying to use the efficiency tools that are out there and a rule change for lawyers that allows us to organize in a different way so that, we can align our interests with our clients and charge either a flat subscription rate, for like outside general counsel services, or if there are one-off type of, services that they need, flat rates there. Now, obviously there are some things that we will never be able to flat fee, litigation or giant transactions or things like that. But you know, we really are trying to make the legal services more accessible and more predictable.
Now, in Arizona itself, I remember when we were going through all this, where Arizona got to go ahead and become legal for cannabis, obviously the changes were made. And 5 years ago, this month, or yeah, coming up this month right now, we are in where adult use sales for cannabis was made in the market. And referring back to your folks, to the folks at Copper State Farms, that who you were working with as general counsel, I want to take a quote that was being made recently by in the azbigmedia.com story about the 5 year anniversary. Carolyn Riggs, who's VP of Sales and Marketing at Copper State, mentioning that the Arizona cannabis industry is in a full swing market correction, and going on to say that the industry right now is resizing to match real demand instead of inflated projections, and future success will require lean operations, controlled inventory, product segmentation, and retail innovation. So again, you know, your larger MSOs, they're going to try to go and continue to cut costs. They're going to continue to try to go and, you know, take care, shorten the overhead, who knows, use AI, whatever else they can to try to go ahead and shoreline their things. But that could cut away from compliance. That could cut away from quality, I can say. I'm not saying, you know, they could, but there's just risks that are involved with that. So from the legal standpoint, what do you tell those companies that are looking to go ahead and try to match that correction and not go after inflated projections?
Yeah, I mean, it's, sure, it's a balance between being a lean operator and cutting corners, right? And that is a challenge, particularly in an industry where the regulations that are constantly evolving. And sometimes, you know, your business doesn't fit in squarely to a regulation, right? A lot of times we're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. So it does take a little bit of interpretation sometime, and a little bit of triage, and a little bit of strategy. But it is important, you know, I mean, look, you have no business if you don't have a license, if you're not compliant. So but that is one area you definitely don't want to cut corners and scrimp on.
Now, we were talking just before about the fact that there is that civil war with intoxicating hemp. So recent moves right now federally to tighten the definition of hemp and effectively ban THCA and Delta A products by late 2026. So the regulated cannabis operators who want that competition crush, they don't want the hemp industry to go and have that kind of deal. And of course, the wide open space that we have of the hemp bill, which really never gave any real proper framework to work off of. So we had a lot of outliers that were nefarious, let's just be honest, and did not do well and caused a lot of issues for responsible companies like the ones you would have represented. And you represented on the regulated side at Copper State Farms. So when you look at this right here about these other nefarious actors that are, you know, we can't have nice things. It's that kind of idea, right? So do you believe the regulated industry is shooting itself in the foot by demanding enforcement against hemp, or simply exploiting the loopholes that you would likely advise when you used 5 years ago? Because I feel like there is a point where hemp can take the dive because cannabis hopefully will get regulated and will supersede.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I go back and forth on this with folks and all the time. I mean, you know, let's call it what it is. If they were using that hemp loophole, it's really just trying to legalize cannabis through the back door, which, you know, again, on a federal level, philosophically, certainly that's what we're all after, right? But here in Arizona, I mean, we passed medical marijuana by barely 4,000 votes. We lost our first initiative to legalize adult use cannabis in 16. We won in 20, we had a mature market and regulated and not too many problems. But we had a pact with the soccer mom voters that didn't like cannabis and were wary of us, that maybe voted for us. But our pact was that your kid couldn't buy this at the dirty little smoke shop down the street that was untested and maybe, synthetic. And was going to cause him sick, you know. That was the fact we made with voters. And if we violate that, we run the risk of losing everything. And I think you're seeing backlash for that right now. I mean, I think you are seeing an effort to repeal adult use cannabis in Massachusetts. Public opinion for cannabis legalization and the cannabis industry is lower than it was 5 years ago. And I think that was a big part of it. We risk losing it all if we exploit something that people didn't vote for.
Agreed. Now, the other part is, do you see where we're going to get any kind of permanent structure in place? Because once that 2026 hemp bill gets looked at and brought up to the floor once again for a vote, with the idea of getting rid of intoxicating hemp, I mean, we already see other states kind of going this route. Do you think that the federal government will just allow the other states to kind of just go ahead and control that? Or do you think the federal government is ready to go ahead and do that blanket over?
Yeah. You know, if I had if I could predict what was going to happen in Washington on anything, I think I'd be a lot. So I wouldn't have to work anymore. But
But there's just still people that real feel like, okay, again, it's a political stand. There's always a thing where people feel like, okay, we still need a government. The government is going to help us. They're going to be reliable. They're going to be, you know, responsible for us, and they're going to help us be a responsible industry. I don't ever see that. I don't understand how people can still have that kind of claim even today. So
yeah. I mean, you know, I believe the best we could hope for is the federal government to leave it up to the states, right? That I think is the best way for the industry to evolve and take a light touch at a federal level as far as some basic amount of a federal tax or making sure that we have interstate commerce for the states to do legalize it. Getting there is obviously has been and probably will continue to be two steps forward and one step back. Rescheduling to Schedule 3 certainly isn't a panacea by any means, but is it a good step in the right direction? Yeah, I think it is. So I don't know that going and trying to argue for, let's be honest, for going and arguing for intoxicating flower, THC flower, call it THCA, call it Delta, call it whatever you want, like going and advocating for that through the farm bill, I think is disingenuous. And I think it's time for the hemp industry and the regulated cannabis industry to ally and work together, not on these separate lanes, but to go to the federal government and say, look, this is what we need to do. We need to regulate it on a state level. And let's finally get this done and deschedule it in that fashion.
As we're recording, we are just days away from the 2025 MJ Business Conference, MJ BizCon. And I'll imagine, again, one of the largest gatherings for the cannabis industry every year. I mean, what are the kind of things that are, do you think that people are kind of a bit anxious about or concerned about that they will probably be at the top discussions? I don't know if you're going to be at the show in Vegas or not, but what is it you feel like would be the biggest grumblings going on there coming up this week?
Yeah, so this will be actually the first one I haven't gone to since they started.
Ah,
wow. I think that might tell you all you need to know.
Oh, my goodness.
I imagine the attendance is going to be down. I think the mood will be not as, the outlook's not as rosy as it used to be, and people won't be quite as excited. They won't be spending as much money. The industry is contracting, except for a few notable places like Missouri. There's nothing really too exciting on the horizon for growth, and people are battening down the hatches and going into survival mode. So,
Let me ask you this too, because, you know, obviously with Cannabis Radio, we're always looking at trying to go and reach out to companies that would want to work with us and, you know, what we're trying to approach. But I do feel like there's something about that. There are some companies out there that they have to have some kind of presence at MJ BizCon to save face or to put some kind of mirroring that, oh, everything all is well. Do you feel like that is something that happens quite a bit, that if they're going to have to spend, or we're just going to have to do it at a booth, we got to show, oh, look, we got a new product, this and that. They have to do something here, because if they don't show up, then there's something that's wrong.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think that, look, if you want to be a market leader, you got to be at the biggest conference there is. In the days of having two levels in the conference, the Vegas Conference Center, Convention Center filled with, a million vendors, that's just not happening anymore. Because, you know, if you're a crossover equipment or packaging manufacturer or something like that, and you're looking at the, your marketing dollars of where to go and selling into a contracting industry, yeah, maybe it doesn't make sense to go. But yeah, if your primary market is cannabis and you're one of the market leaders, yeah, you still got to go.
And don't get me wrong, I had the folks at MJ Biz. I mean, they do a great conference there. It's well attended. It always does pretty well, and they always stay pretty much well ahead on sessions and tracks and events, and I know I have a really big event going on this year to really register interest. But the one thing is just I can imagine for companies, yeah, there might be a little bit of a contraction of those that are going to be able to make it, or if they are, they're just trying to show, listen, we're still here, and hopefully something really great will come out of the conference that will really help us out, you know, in a market right now that for every market right now in the country, it's there's not a whole lot of room for growth at the moment, and there's nothing you're looking for in terms of relief that's going to help accelerate the growth.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right, though. It is a great conference, and it's the best place for the industry to come together. And, you know, if you are looking to network and even keep the path open for future deals, right, that's always a good place to be. But the days of, dropping your entire marketing budget, equivalent of now your entire marketing budget on a party at the Palms or something like that, is probably not in the cards for too many people this year.
Agreed. Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break. I'm here with Ryan Hurley, the founder of Cannabis Law in Arizona, former general counsel for Copper State Farms, founder of Litix Legal, LITIXLegal.com. Now, Ryan, I also want to ask you, how much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With the Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, BRASCO, at CannabisRadio.com. About working as general counsel for a company, so when you were part of a company as general counsel, now you are freelance. You're independent of all that. But one of the areas was that you were general counsel for a major vertically integrated operator and a very successful one that's doing still quite well today at Copper State. So you know the job is often just daily triage, but with capital markets being frozen, a debt wall looming in 2026, that general counsels are working more like chief restructuring officers more than anything else now. So and no longer being in that general counsel role, being outside the company and offering support from within, like I understand that even with the work I do right now, where it's like there's only so much internal work you get that you have to go ahead and diversify your work portfolio and find other work elsewhere. We're in it's like gig economy is real even more so than ever. Tell me about, you know, preparing for where everything is right now in terms of how you play a role inside or outside an MSO these days.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I watched the industry here in Arizona. I watched the industry here in Arizona evolve from nothing to where it's at today. And you know, when I started Copper State at 17, we were barely growing in that large greenhouse. We had one dispensary out in the middle of nowhere, Isville, Arizona, and now there are 9 dispensaries throughout Arizona, and you know, largest cannabis cultivation greenhouse in the country, I believe,
one of them, anyway.
And
it was
exciting out there. It was when you first had it opened up there, that was huge. It was, what a large space. And again, what promising times in the industry where you already had medical and you were making a step up eventually. At the time we were hosting, Copper State Farms was one of the presenting sponsors at one of our United States Cannabis Conference and Expos before COVID, you know, kind of just took that away. But it was like there was great growing that was being done there. A lot of great products to market. It was wonderful.
Yeah, and it was. And very exciting. And, you know, so being in-house counsel, obviously you've got the regular issues to deal with for any company that's going from, you know, 0 to 600 employees in the span of a few years. Labor issues, compliance issues, environmental issues, you know, all those sorts of things. But, you know, the industry was we were growing so rapidly, the industry was going so rapidly that there were all sorts of different potential expansion paths and projects to try. And, you know, I spent a great majority of my time on that. And obviously, when things started to contract, it became a little bit less about that and a lot more about just, you know, being efficient and keeping us out of trouble and, you know, trying to plan for the future. So I think that's the big difference right now is that, you know, it's gone from a growth mindset, at least in the short term, to a, you know, let's be efficient and make sure we're prepared for when the growth comes back, which hopefully it will, at least in the capital markets.
So in your career that you've worked in for legal, you worked with a firm as an attorney there, and then you went in general counsel with Copper State, and then you went back to another firm before, but you've worked in various aspects before you went on your own. And at this point, you know, when you look at it from the firm standpoint, a larger firm, or for yourself, or for now, like what is for legal that are out there, for legal, you know, experts like yourself that are in the space, where is the best place to be right now to hedge your bets and to be the best advocate or to be the best use for any companies, large or small?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that was part of the reason that, you know, I left the in-house gig to go back out into private practice. Was I kind of saw the writing on the wall with the capital markets, and you know, I think the growth that we had attained was probably about as big as we could have gotten for a little while. And you know, I wanted to go out and do different things, and the legal market is probably the last legal business is probably the last business that still basically operates the way it has since 1970, minus the advent of the fax and the email. But it's ripe for disruption, and with AI coming down the pipe, that really can do, you know, a good 50-60% of a first year lawyer's work, and in a paralegal and an assistant's work. You have to imagine that the business model is going to change whether we like it or not. And if you're going and operating like you're still going to be able to maintain these insane high rates and rate increases every year and get that partner track and that partner ship and the partner bonuses, it's not going to happen. If I was a young kid coming out of law school right now, I'd be really worried. And, you know, I've still got a good chunk of time left in my career, and I'd rather drive that conversation, that disruption than sort of be a passenger in it. And, that's what we're trying to do at Lytics. We're trying to use these tools and alternative business structure that we're allowed to do here in Arizona, to drive that business model change. And I'm excited about it because, you know, it needs to change. It means that we will be able to offer our services to more people on a more transparent way, and hopefully start to change the, you know, the negative perception that people have about lawyers.
As we're recording last week, there was a story that came out from MJ Biz Daily, and it was a possible constitutional challenge to federal cannabis prohibition. And the case that's being looked at is now being set up for December 12th. Is Cannabis Provisions et al. Versus Bondi. It's a lawsuit brought by four cannabis companies seeking to bring federal cannabis policy before the Supreme Court for the first time in 20 years. And they're also talking about the fact that Verano Holdings, a Chicago-based multi-state MSO, and three Massachusetts-based co-plaintiffs sued Department of Justice in 2023 of October that federal restrictions on marijuana and the Controlled Substances Act are no longer constitutional. And last time we had a court case come forward was Gonzalez versus Raich, and that was 2005. But now, you know, there have been justices that have questioned prohibition's validity, and that the lead attorney on this case say that they think there's been a desire to find the right case to effectively overturn Gonzalez versus Raich. So I don't know how much you know about this case coming forward, but, you know, any case going to the Supreme Court, is there any chance we might see an overturning?
You know, I think it's pretty highly unlikely, you know, but
I go with this first of all. I could have, if I thought there was a chance, I probably would have put this as first question, but
I applaud the efforts. And even if there is a chance, I mean, it's going to wind around for a while before there's ever even opportunity on that. But you know, it is something that adds pressure to the national conversation and adds pressure to hopefully lawmakers and the president to do the right thing. And do what the American people want. And it's clear what the American people want. It's time to end the prohibition against cannabis and let states decide to regulate it how they will. But, you know, I applaud the efforts. I think it's probably pretty much a long shot.
But, you know, as you said, if it would expand the national conversation, I don't think I've seen anything that's been talked about at all when it comes to this case being brought up to the Supreme Court and anybody talking about it. I don't see anyone talking about it. Again,
yeah.
Any linear media is not going to talk about it, but even social media has been pin drop quiet on this.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's been lots of efforts like this before. And although, you know, the current makeup of the court, the current makeup of the country and the status of the world, is it impossible to go ahead and ignore their own precedent and decide to do something? Yeah, I think it is. And this is one of those issues that certainly does not break down along, you know, traditional liberal conservative justices, right? So maybe it is. Maybe it's the right time. Maybe it's possible. But yeah, I wouldn't put any money on it while you're in Vegas.
Right. And now the other thing, too, is that, you know, we are not, can't really expect much when it comes to what could change with, you know, any governing bodies coming in. Because right now, Supreme Court's more worried about, okay, the tariffs that are being put in, the see if that's going to be put back in or the you know, we've weighed on gun rights for various states. That's the more important things they want
to know about. Deploying the military and states to do police work.
Right. And then the other part is we were waiting for the VEA to go ahead and do something. The appeal process still stalled. This is what, at least another 6 months after Terrence Cole was confirmed as DEA administrator, and nothing's happened. I don't know what's going on. Have you heard anything on the ground as to why that case hasn't moved forward, why a new judge has been placed?
Yeah, because it's a priority. It's not the priority in the administration, and Pam Bondi is no friend of the industry, right? She was always a nightmare for us, and we knew that. And so, you know, that's ultimately when it comes down to it, that's within DOJ's purview and within the DEA's purview. And they don't have to move on it if they don't want to.
But now there has been talk about, there's been a lot of pressure, especially on social media, where they want to see Pam Bondi be replaced and that Todd Blanche, the deputy AG, would be put into that place. Would that make any difference at all?
I mean, no. If that were to happen, it means that the president has decided to take this up as an issue. And I don't really see that happening. I don't think it benefits him enough popularity wise to do anything about it, but I could be wrong. But if that was the case, he would have done it by now, because all he would have to do is tell people get out of the way about it happen.
I think it's part of the thing where, like, any changes that are being made at all right now, there's the part where you can't go ahead and go through another confirmation process. So you got to go ahead and just stay within the chain of command that you have in there and just promote somebody up as opposed to anything else. So that you're stuck with what you have. You know, if Matt Gaetz would have been confirmed, I think we probably would have had maybe more a favorable opinion of where cannabis would be, and maybe rescheduling might have happened. But, you know, we're not going to know about that because that got pushed aside. And, of course, that's the beast that is Washington, D.C. No changes on that at all either. So,
yeah, for sure. So unless, you know, there's some clear political benefit and need for the president, I don't see it. Because it's clear it was moving, and then when the new administration, when that administration came in, it stalled. And it stalled because they don't care. And to the extent they do, it's they care not having it happen.
Exactly. Here we are, final questions right now with Ryan Hurley, father of cannabis law in Arizona, former general counsel at Commerce State Farms, and founder of Litix Legal, L-I-T-I-X, legal. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com.
And we'll talk more about how you can connect with Ryan and be a part and you know, work with his services in terms of legal help that you would need if you're in the cannabis industry, and you definitely need it. Trust me, you have to have that default legal counsel that's going to be there for you to give you that advice that you need, because we are still in a market where, you know, states, things could change anytime when it comes to regulation, or federal regulations could be, you know, affecting your business at any time. We have to keep that all in mind. So now compliance, automated compliance versus subjective enforcement. So you can't just check a box. And I've been saying this over and over with compliance that you can't stick to the bare minimum of a compliance. And if there's a way to get more towards good manufacturing practices, GMP standards, obviously it's going to be tough for a lot of companies to go and do that, put the money besides in a time when they're trying to go and cut corners and reduce overhead, making it more possible. Now, you champion using AI and automation to lower costs, but state regulations in markets like Arizona change continually, often written by regulators who don't understand supply chain. So tell me about that balance where you can automate legal compliance and work on trying to stay with the letter of the law.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you can automate the compliance function, but I think you can, you know, it's getting to a point where you can automate a lot of the administrative work behind it, right? So, instead of literally having somebody going and checking boxes, right? There's sort of more of a automatic workflow that's put in. So something that maybe required two or three people administratively behind the scenes now only requires one. I don't know that there's a whole lot of savings to be had from AI helping in the compliance game, because it doesn't know the rules, and the rules of the text of the rules sometimes are not really helpful. And to the extent they are, it depends on who's enforcing them and when and why. So, I think if you're using these smart tools out, like there's, you know, note taker apps and things like that and automated workflows, they can take some of that admin lift off. But I think that's about it.
And finally, from the area of assets. So, we're seeing a massive wave of distressed asset sales because federal bankruptcy is off the table. And now legal strategies often just apply a term for stalling creditors while executives extract remaining value. So for yourself, you're looking to go and change profession for the better. Tell me about the legal line there is between advocating for a failing cannabis client and helping them prolong a collapse that's going to hurt vendors, employees, and the ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, certainly I can't help and wouldn't help anybody that's intentionally, trying to move assets around to avoid paying creditors. But look, it is, if you're in a place where there's restructuring that's required and there's too much debt and creditors out there, but there's a valid, there's a valuable business or license somewhere underneath. And, it makes sense to try to preserve as much of that as possible so that, that you can go forward. But it's interesting. We're in a market now where not only, is there no growth, maybe a little bit of contraction, but, and some failing operations, some debt, that's coming due, but there's no real capital to go out and rescue it and restructure it. So it's dark times if you didn't prepare well for this. But if you made it through the last year or two, I think you're probably going to be okay. We are seeing interest rates come down. Capital should loosen up in that regard. We need a little bit of good news coming out of anywhere, frankly, that might lift it a little bit. If we could get reclassification and safe banking that would allow these Canadian companies to list on the New York Stock Exchange, that would help. And then we can go and really restructure and preserve assets and preserve people's jobs and try to get as many people paid as possible. But yeah, it's
let's just repeat the words that we hear from the cannabis industry repetitively, cautiously optimistic. Everybody likes to say that word, so I'll say it. It's a worn cliche, but people want to feel that way. You want to feel glass half full, have your happy talk. There you go. We just thought for you. So Ryan Hurley, again, the father of cannabis law in Arizona, general counsel, former general counsel at Cabbage Day Farms, and now your work at Litix Legal, LITIX Legal.com, where you're offering legal representation. Again, independent, flat fee pricing. Take a minute to talk to our listeners about, you know, and is this only specifically for Arizona? Do you work in other states? And just tell me what you're able to go and offer from your perspective independently.
Yeah, for sure. So with regard to the cannabis work and like general counsel services and general business stuff, I likely can work on out-of-state stuff depending on what it is. But we're really also trying to make sure that our services are available to individual consumers that may need a lawyer one time for the worst part of their life. They're getting a divorce or somebody they're planning for their estate and they really should and know they want to do an estate plan, but they're afraid because they don't want to pay $10,000 on a lawyer. So that kind of stuff was primarily in Arizona. You know, I'm only barred in Arizona. Our business structure allows us only to have that bar license in Arizona, but you know, things of a business nature that are not state specific, or that I'm comfortable being able to advise on, I can do that. So go to the website www.litixlegal.com, and you can see sort of the stuff that we do. And please feel free to reach out to us. Free 30-minute consult. If we can help you, we will. If we can't, we'll let you know.
One more time, let's spell that out, LITIXlegal.com. And also phone number there, 602-607-3113. Rewind back, get that number again, 602-607-3113. Ryan Hurley, thanks for being on. Really appreciate you taking time out.
Thank you. This was fun. I appreciate the opportunity.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.